Yeah. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spine. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Let's go, baby. What's good? What's good? What's good? Happy Monday.
Hey, what the hell? What the hell?
Hey.
What the hell?
Yeah. What is going on here?
Wait a minute.
I know what Sacktown brings. When on the low, that's a Sacktown thing. Talking about us, it's a bounce out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us then, ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look towards the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam.
I mean, they won two. We might as well go first two.
Sack crowd, make sure everyone knows. Let me tell you how this thing really goes. Yeah, we travel deep. Whether we home or on the road, we lit. You don't want that smoke. We the team of the year. We shaking things over here. Don't doubt. We believe over here. We don't bleed over here. And let me just speak real clear. Only deal with real kings over here. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look toward the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them, like
yes,
the beam now.
Hey. Shout out Young Zell for that as the
wow.
Kings get a couple of victories over the weekend.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
We welcome you in here to the Monday, April 7th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Borg.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
And check this out. You said the Kings got two wins over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised about both of them.
Well, as you should be. I think everybody is surprised.
I'm surprised about both of them, and I'm not surprised about either.
Yeah,
if we're being honest.
And if we're trying to find a story of the Kings season, that sentence might be it.
That's crazy.
Don't be surprised by anything. Beat Charlotte? Fine. Lose to Washington? Sure. Beat the Cavs? Twice?
Wow.
All right.
Kyle Mattson at the stat. The Kings going 3-1 against the Cavs and the Celtics this year is crazy.
Just spectacular.
3-1.
Incredible.
Oh, man. And they might, well, it doesn't hit the same anymore. But I was just about to say they might go 0-2 against Detroit, but Detroit is pretty good. So
yeah, Detroit is solid. That's going to be, I actually think this is a really compelling game tonight. It could be. It depends on which version of the Sacramento Kings show up.
Mm-hmm.
The version that played yesterday without Keegan Murray, by the way, or the version that played a couple of days ago against Washington. Hell, even the version that played against Charlotte was good. Like, they went out there, they beat a bad basketball team exactly right. Like they were supposed to do. You got solid performances from all around. We'll focus on yesterday's game because Charlotte is Charlotte. It's not a good basketball team. I know that doesn't matter. They have more wins than Washington does, but whatever, man. They beat Cleveland again. And it was one of the I hate games like this. It happened with Milwaukee. It's happened several times this year where you're watching and you're like, they're playing really well.
Mm.
And then it's like, all right, man, they're out there fighting. You know, Zach LaVine is having a game. DeMar is playing great. Like, Domas is just incredibly efficient. This is good. All right, we'll see what happens. And then it gets to the point where you kind of hit the point where you really don't want to lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like your feelings before the game, like, are dramatically different.
Yep.
And we got there, and the Sacramento Kings took care of business, man. They hit some clutch shots. They got some stops. Maybe a little luck went their way.
Finally.
It doesn't happen very often.
Right.
I don't care what the last 2-minute report says today.
It's okay. It's okay. It went in our favor. But usually we, when we're on the other side, got to wait for the last 2-minute report. Then the last 2-minute report doesn't even go in our favor. Mm-hmm. But, oh, after the game. Oh, no, we got that one wrong.
Well, all right, so I didn't see the – did he say they got it wrong, or did they say we should have looked at it?
So that's a good question. I saw James had tweeted out that the crew chief said we got it wrong.
Okay.
Was he might have been talking about not looking at it, getting that wrong, and maybe not the bucket. I took it as him talking about the
full response. Why didn't the refs go back to review the potential shot clock violation on Zach LaVine on his made basket late in the fourth quarter? Courtney Kirkland said, well, we made a mistake. During live action, we thought that LaVine released the ball prior to the expiration of the shot clock. If we were going to review, we would have had to review it before the ball was legally touched on the floor during the throw-in, mm-hmm. right after the made basket. I'm reading that as we made a mistake by not going to review it.
That's good. Yeah. You're right about that.
During, and then I think he's going on to explain. Well, we made a mistake. Again, the question was, why didn't you go back and review the potential shot clock violation? Well, we made a mistake. During live action, we thought LaVine released the ball prior to the expiration of the shot clock, meaning they felt there wasn't a need for a review. Mm-hmm. In reality, he's saying we made a mistake. We probably should have halted action really quick and gone to look at it.
Yeah. They probably should have. Okay.
Cool. But you didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the NBA is going to lose sleep over this one.
Sleepless nights. They only get one sleepless night in their entire existence.
Well, as far as we know, that's the only one they've ever had.
Sleep like a baby any other time.
One sleepless night.
Any other time they sleep like a baby.
Oh, they're great.
But this is hindsight. You know what I mean? This is hindsight, what I'm about to say. But Cavs should have done something in that situation to, like, take a second. Yeah, either call a timeout or
hold on to the ball.
Yes, and say, hey, are you not going to look at that? At least bring it to their attention. Like, hey, are you?
Hey!
Yeah. You know, but that's also the players, the coaches, staff, everybody in the moment thinking that way. I can understand not even thinking that way.
I mean, in the moment, they're probably thinking, get up the floor.
Right. So I'm not going to. I don't care, first of
all. Yeah, it's not our goddamn problem.
I'm also not going to like be like, oh, they should have done this and that. That's a heat-of-the-moment situation. I'm glad they didn't, though. James said it was clearly late. It's still unclear because Katie brings up a good point.
I don't know that it was.
There's another view. Because we have the straight-on view,
right?
We don't
all
know.
All you see is the back of his hand.
Right. So the sideways view was gonna be the one to determine. And I guess they only got one camera in Gund Arena. It's actually not that anymore. It's like Rocket Mortgage Arena or something like that.
And I can't stress this enough. I don't care.
Hell no.
It ain't my problem.
Hell no.
You know
no.
how many times we've been on the other side of it? I don't
Every
care
time.
If it was 30 seconds and Zach LaVine got the ball off and everybody screaming. That's not my problem. Refs didn't call it. We going to keep it moving.
We going to keep it moving, bro.
Yeah. Kings played Detroit tonight, which will be interesting because everybody played 40 minutes last night.
Mm.
I don't think anyone. I meant to look at this on the on the game book. Did anyone besides Malik come off the bench in the second half?
I don't think so. I know Valanciunas didn't.
No, Carter no one did. Didn't. Malik Monk played 9 minutes and 56 seconds in the second half. Devin Carter, Isaac Jones, and Jonas Valanciunas all played nothing.
Mm.
You'll be surprised to find out also Jay Crowder didn't play in this game.
Well, I thought he'd get in this game.
I thought this would be the one. Maybe tonight.
This was a Jay Crowder game.
Well, Jay Crowder in Detroit feels like a...
yeah. Where's that damn Isaiah Stewart at?
Some big...
Is he still suspended? Yeah. Where is he at?
Jay Crowder coming out in uniform like, hey, coach. I'm in tonight.
That's it. This is the one we've been waiting for.
He's been waiting all year for this game.
He's been low managing his minutes for this moment right here.
Waiting for this one. Waiting for this one. And it's here, Jay. Tonight's your night, Jay Crowder.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I was about to say, is he still suspended? I'm pretty sure he's been back. Isaiah Stewart.
Well, he was suspended for two games. I think he was two. So I gotta assume
it might have been in the middle of the week somewhere. So yeah. He probably even played a game since then. So, yeah.
How many times has Isaiah Stewart been suspended this
40.
Year? 40. A lenient commissioner.
Didn't we say
unless
last year
John Morant.
After he socked somebody in the face, this guy from the Suns in the face,
yep.
Pregame?
Yes.
We said, hey, Adam Silver needs to sit down and have a talk with him.
Yep.
He's had like 10 incidents since then.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Adam has not had a talk with him. Trey Lyles will choke his ass.
Trey Lyles, he ain't no punk.
Yeah, Trey Lyles will choke his ass.
So I'm with you, man. I'm interested to see how they play in this game, how they come out ready to go, because one game doesn't change, two games actually, doesn't change how I feel about them or the moniker that I had to snatch off their neck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure or certain they're tougher than a $2 steak. I'm not sure they're going to be ready to respond like when adversity hits, whether it's a back-to-back or, you know, something like that.
Tougher than
sure.
One of those $300 tomahawks you ordered.
Well, that was nice. that was a nice little tomahawk right there. Everything was good. I didn't have a steak this weekend, but I had.
Oh yeah, it was in Napa.
Yeah, I had. What did we have? Some roast beef, I think. I can't remember, but it was ribeye something. I don't know. It was really good though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope it was ribeye, not roast beef.
I got to text the wife what we had because I was hungry. I was just whatever's on my. They sent me some fish at first. I was like, good fish. I'm cool. They're like, oh, we didn't put fish down on our request. We requested something else.
Oh, they put it down in front of someone else.
They put it down in front of me.
Oh, and then you realize
the wife was like, "You didn't order fish. We ordered something else."
Damn. The wife dimed you out.
Yeah. So they took it back.
It's cold, man.
Okay, now did you eat the fish? And they're like, oh, actually, I got steak. Bring them the steak now.
That's tough. All right, we'll come back. I want to hear more about your weekend in Napa. I got to tell you about our trip to the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
I got thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
I got thoughts.
$300
Well, it didn't matter. We went the cocktail route. We'll talk about it, man. Casey's right. We could have done so much more with that money.
Could have got you a bunch of biggie bags, huh?
Biggie bags.
We'll talk about it. Lots of Kings basketball here today. Steelin' with KC on 102.5 KSFM. Nope, that's not the station. Oh,
we're going to have a day today, pal. It's 1320.
All right, we back in here. We got a lot of Kings basketball to talk about. A couple of Kings victories over the weekend. A massive Kings win yesterday that was magnified by a Phoenix Suns loss yesterday.
Yeah.
So the play-in spot, the postseason spot, is I don't know what the magic number is. Is it two?
Yeah.
So a win or so. Yeah, a win and a loss. Right. Mm-hmm. That would be the two. The one. Okay.
Yeah.
And then now that you know they're at nine, so the nine is still very much in play. A home play-in game is still very much in play. So there's lots to talk about in that regard.
And I'll say this. I'm gonna continue to say it when we get to the days before the day of or whatever. Everybody that you feel however you want to feel,
mm-hmm.
I'm 100% rooting for this team to get in the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to have a home play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to win both. I want them to be in the playoffs. Everybody else, or I shouldn't say everybody else, other people can be like, this is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when you tune in to D-Lo and KC or you tap in on my Twitter or whatever, I'm going to be hyped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm be hyped, man. Come on. I want to see playoff basketball this year in Sacramento because regardless of whether or not they keep their pick or they win or whatever, there's work that needs to be done regardless in the offseason. So mm-hmm. we'll deal with that in the offseason. As of right now, I want to see these guys win, man. So I was happy to see the win last night. I want to see them win tonight. I want them to host a the play-in game, mm-hmm. and I want them to get in the playoffs, period.
Winning is still pretty valuable in this league, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for all of that. I think the thing that sticks out to me the most is going back to last week after the Wizards loss. I still wouldn't be surprised if they won a play-in game or two. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think this weekend exemplified that. You went out there and you beat Cleveland. Again, I mean, if there's a million reasons you probably should have lost the game to Cleveland, but you didn't. And it's like, all right, that's that's been the frustrating element. That's been the most frustrating element to this basketball team this year.
Yeah.
Is you really have no idea what you're going to get from them on a day-to-day basis, on a game-to-game basis. And we saw them. Let's start with Zach LaVine.
Okay.
Because I think there's a lot of guys that deserve praise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that deserve praise for the way that they played yesterday. I actually thought Keon was extraordinary yesterday.
Yeah, I yelled at Keon, but it's okay.
Well,
and he was great.
Yelled at him in front of everybody on Twitter.
Yeah, no, he was great. He was great. He was fantastic for much of the game, but I lost it when that happened.
I know.
I was shooting a three.
I know.
And yeah.
Came off as like, damn it, Keon, how many times do I have to tell you?
I yelled at him. But that's my boy. He was great yesterday.
Yeah. I would just bite my tongue.
Did you yell at someone too?
No. I'm just thinking how the broadcast took a different direction with that play for those that heard it.
Yeah.
It was an interesting way to describe what had happened.
Well.
All right. Every Kings fan is punching the wall right now. But no, it's okay. It's fine. Nothing to see here. Yeah, that was a frustrating play from Keon for sure. Donovan got him. But overall, I thought he played really, really well.
He did. He
yesterday,
did,
especially in the absence of Keegan Murray. But like I said, I wanted to start with Zach LaVine. Mm. 42 minutes from Zach LaVine, 21 shots. 21 is great. That's it's not 7, it's not 10. Like, it's not a whole bunch in the fourth quarter to make the numbers look a little different than they really are. Man shot 21 times, but the story of yesterday's game was the efficiency. It's the 15 of 21, the 7 of 11. Zach LaVine was electric yesterday.
Man, I believe this is the game that pisses people off about Zach LaVine, that makes them turn their back on Zach LaVine. Yeah. Like, TK, that's why when we were having discussions when the Kings got Zach LaVine with TK, with Trista, I said, Trista, is it that you don't think he's good or you don't trust him? And I don't think she really even answered it, but I'll just answer it for her, and we can talk to her tomorrow about it. I think she knows he's unbelievably talented. Like, unbelievable. He can do it all. But the fact that a game like this seems to be so sporadic or come few and far between is unbelievably frustrating. And I understand that. I get that. He's got it all. He can the 3-point shot, his jump shot is beautiful. It is pure. A couple of those 3-pointers, there's a certain way that the ball goes through the net when it goes all net. Some of them, you know, back room. It just snaps the net. It is perfect. Just laces the net. And you see his quickness. You see his ability to handle the ball. You see his ability to be athletic and get to the bucket. And it's like, why are we not doing this more times than not? And it's I understand the frustration of a lot of people with Zach LaVine, especially after seeing what he was able to do yesterday. And Friday, for that matter, too. He was really good on Friday. He was great yesterday.
He was. Absolutely. Man. Zach LaVine has shot the ball. How many games has Zach played this year? 70.
He's eligible for NBA.
He is in fact eligible for all. He's eligible for all of it. He might win all of them, given the way everyone has fallen apart this year. Zach LaVine has shot the ball 20 times or more this season. How many times?
7.
No. That might have been too dramatic of a buildup.
Oh.
Of the 70 games that he's played, we'll get back to that number 7, though. Of the 70 games that he's played, he has shot the ball 20 times or more, 20 times. Mm,
that's still low, you know what I mean?
For sure. With Sacramento, though, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of those 20 games are with Sacramento.
That's what I was Chicago. Talking about. Count it. That counts.
You said 7.
That, yeah, but it was closest. Count it.
Jesse didn't guess.
That's his fault.
He literally, count it. He literally just held up a 5.
That's his fault.
He literally just put count his hand it. Up. He said
it's
5.
It's too late.
Yeah, he just said 5. Like, look, he's right there. It's 5. He won.
Put this on the
stand. We're going to put it on the run your game. Look, right there. He's doing it on the screen. Man's over there. He's got a job to do. Yeah, I was curious to see where that game fit in the amount of time. I mean,
can I guess the 5 games? I think I remember them.
Sure. Well, we know one was yesterday.
Obviously. The other one was the Hornets game where he had 75 threes.
I don't see the Hornets on here. I don't think this guessing game is going to go well, I would be honest with you.
Well, Spurs and...
Are you just saying teams out loud?
these are the games when he went crazy. Was Nuggets one of them?
No, I have Chicago. He shot 24. The most he shot this year. The most he shot this year, both of them were against... both of them were with Chicago. One of them, it was against the Spurs. He shot 25 times against Atlanta and against San Antonio.
You were looking overall. I was thinking just with the Kings.
Yeah, no, and here are the Kings games. 24 against Chicago.
Got you. Oh, it was against Chicago. Okay.
New Orleans, he shot 24 times against them.
Yeah.
The Spurs, I think you said that.
Yeah.
The Clippers in the 111-110 game, he was 12 of 22 in that game. I think there's one more. Oh, yesterday.
How many times do you have how many times you shot against Charlotte? The first time?
Why is that so important?
Because he had 11 3, he had like 44.
Well, I have to change the way I look at this. Charlotte. Charlotte, he shot 11, 15, 19 times. Wait.
He shot 19 times? He must. Yeah. No, that's what I'm. He had like 40. And to have that on less than 20, he was cooking. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, he was 16 of 19.
Wow. 19.
That's insane. He was 16 40, of 19.
Was it 40 or 44?
42.
42.
16 of 19, 8 of 9 from 3.
He's so frustrated. I get it now. I get it. I understand. He's unbelievably frustrated. I'm not saying he can shoot like that every night, but he's
44% from 3 on the season.
Man.
50. He's man,
how many threes
a
does he take
free throw than he was.
A game?
He's 51-30. He's 51-44 and 82%. Threes per game. I'm not looking at the right column. Give me a second. Threes per game. Zach LaVine with the Sacramento Kings is 6 point. He's 7. Basically 7 threes per game.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have.
You would have guessed
less,
more or less.
Less. Yeah, but that's still, goals. I mean, man, he's shooting 44% from three, shooting 7 a night.
So I think what you're talking about, one of the things that you're talking about, what Kings fans will be talking about today, which drives people crazy, is how does he follow that up tonight? Mm-hmm. Now, Zach LaVine did play 42 minutes last night. And I feel sometimes you see guys go for 37, you see them go for 40, these incredibly efficient nights, and then they're, you know, 3 of 14 the next night. Mm-hmm. But you've got Detroit, second night of a back-to-back, road back-to-back. I think the response from all of these guys will be interesting.
Yeah.
Also, is this the dreaded last game of a road trip?
Oh, man.
Gosh, you hate those.
You don't want to see those.
Just hate those. They're so tough.
It doesn't matter that there's a, I was going to say a pennant race, but that's not what it is. A playoff push.
No, it doesn't matter.
Focus won't be there.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
But, I mean, our concerns are still valid, though, just really just because of this team, you know, and you would hope that they have that sense of urgency, that they're not leaning on the fact that they played a back-to-back or anything else like that, like, and they played a lot of minutes. Like, I understand you're human. I get it. But, you know, have some Red Bull or C4 or something, because you gotta be ready to go. Yeah. You got to be ready to go. You want to bring this home as much as you can. I think you never know. You just never know. But I feel like they're pretty safely in the play-in. You
probably, yeah. I mean, you need Phoenix to win the rest of their games, right, pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
In addition to you losing all of them.
Exactly. So you kind of have that, but you want to see it through, and you want that game at home. You want that game at home. I mean, any Kings, we know nothing is a given here ever, but ever. At home as well. But still, you want that game at home. I think if you can have that game at home, like we saw last year against the Warriors, the crowd will be into it. I think they're in the moment, in the Golden 1 Center, there will be 16,000 to 17,000 people like myself that want to see them win.
Oh, there won't be a single person in that arena that doesn't want them to win.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have the bitching and complaining on Twitter. Mm-hmm. That is not going to be at the Golden 1 Center. No one is going to pay money for a ticket and go, well, I don't really want them to win. I just really would have liked it if they kept their draft pick. So I can pretend I know about the draft and talk about all these players that I never saw play in college.
Kings hit a three, they start booing.
I read Zach Harper's column, though, with all of the rankings.
Kings hit a game winner and they start booing.
Oh, these idiots don't know how to do anything right.
So I say that to say it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a raucous crowd at the Golden 1 Center if you can get that game at home, man. So you want that.
I will speak for all of us. No, in fact, I won't.
Okay. Lake Show.
Hey. Wednesday.
Hey, that was low blow.
The Mavericks host the Lakers.
Uh-huh. Luka coming back.
ESPN. Yeah, that's
Luka ain't
that's a game.
Ain't trying to lose that game.
Mm-mm.
Well, they probably can't.
Unfortunately, Luka might try too hard and turn the ball over 17 times and
he's gonna
come out really refocused the next game.
Yeah, he's going to shoot the ball 40 times.
He should.
I think I was going to say, you know, the Lakers could shut it down after that game, but they got a lot going on. They ain't shutting it down.
But they got a big win yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think they're shutting it down to the last game of the season.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. I don't know how many teams are shutting it down. Of that group.
Isn't it 3-8? Is one game apart or something like that?
I think it's two games it might be.
Yeah, I think all of those teams have the same number in the loss column, no?
Let me see.
I don't know. For some reason, I just pulled up the WNBA standings. Does anyone want to know how the WNBA season ended?
Two games separating 3-8.
Okay, yeah, there it is. Yeah, because the Lakers have 30 losses. Denver, the Clippers, the
four
Warriors,
teams with the same
the
record.
Timberwolves, the Grizzlies all have 32 losses.
They all got the same record. Wow. 46.
Denver's 47-32. The rest of the teams are 46-32. That was a big win for LA yesterday.
It was.
That was a really big win for them yesterday. Against Oklahoma City.
Denver messing around and fuck.
I'm seeing some things on Twitter. Jokic is yelling. Aaron Gordon, I think, was getting into with Payne Watson or trying to coach him up or something.
Well,
you
see your boy, Michael. Jamal is hurt. They were asking him about Jamal, and he's like, look, he might not be back before the start of the playoffs. Like, it was like, oh, Jamal's day to day. Until he's not, and he's like, he's not day-to-day, like, he's hurt.
Mm.
And it's his hamstring, so.
Before I even knew that, just the way that they have played this past week, I'm not taking no victory lap. There's no victory lap to take because the season's still going on. That's not a championship.
Zabo says Jokic wants some clarity. Denver closes. Not a
championship contender.
Denver doesn't play again until here on Wednesday. And then they close out with Memphis and Houston. So Sacramento, Memphis, and Houston is who Denver closes out.
That's not a – that team has no shot at winning a title. They're not a championship contender. They're just – they don't have enough this year. And then especially if Jamal Murray's not able to go.
Yeah. Jamal Murray missing the start of the playoffs could be the end of their
– Everything about that team says this is the end for this little core group that they've had.
But what's that mean? Like you're trading Jamal?
I don't know if you have to trade Jamal.
Michael Porter Jr.?
It's time to retool that team. Like, don't run it back with this group anymore.
I feel like the person you have to trade is Jamal Murray.
Fine with me.
Well, you're not trading Jokic. Porter is the one that you should be trying to trade.
Well, yeah. Porter's the one that you have to trade. Like, I think if you're trying to get better, Jamal is the one you trade. I try to trade Jamal Murray.
I would try to trade Aaron Gordon and try to get some of that production for a little cheaper. Jamal Murray is the one that makes you. I mean, Jokic is the one that makes you a championship contender. But he's the one that elevates you, because Jokic or anybody can't do it by themselves. You need another guy that at any point in time can win a game for you, can win a series for you, can get hot and close out a game, especially from that point guard position, point guard, shooting guard position. And I would much rather try and see if I can continue with him. And Aaron Gordon is unbelievably valuable, but I'd see if I can find, you know, Jalen McDaniels type. Like, because Aaron Gordon makes, like, doesn't he make like $30-some million a year?
Mm-hmm. He's around there.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe try and find somebody like that on the cheap. Guess who's back?
Before you continue, can I just tell you, I don't agree with a single thing you just said.
Well, I understand.
Okay.
I understand. It's okay.
Show's falling apart.
Well, look. So I need the same energy. Nick V is in the chat. He says Jokic 40-15-15. Can he be like SGA guys? Whatever. But maybe if the ball wouldn't stop, ain't that how this works? If the ball wouldn't stop at the end of the game and he's too busy getting his points, they'd win games. Ain't that how this goes?
I don't know. All I was thinking of is why my partner wouldn't go, well, why do you disagree with me? Instead, he's focused on the guy in the jersey.
Well, why do you disagree with me, D?
It's too late.
It's never too late.
Now we got to talk about Nick V and his windbreaker over his jacket.
No, Nick V ain't got to talk about nothing. Why is it too late, Damian? Go ahead. Talk to me.
No, I'm not listening. Why is it too – the question was
– excuse me. Why do you disagree? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Too late. Sorry, it's too late.
No, I don't want to share it anymore.
It was brought up. So obviously, we can talk about.
I want to talk about Nick V.
About Nick V or anybody. Why do you disagree?
You can never go back to the argument. Just
no, you can always go back to it. Why do you disagree? Let's talk about it.
Thoughts and prayers to the Jamal Murray argument.
No, not at all. Not at all. We can talk about it right now.
Are you really relying on Jamal Murray to be what he was that championship postseason again? Because it feels like right now that feels like the anomaly. Like when you say Jamal Murray is the reason that they can win a title. Like not the reason that they're good or the reason that they can compete, but like the compliment to Jokic. Mm-hmm. He's what sets them apart. You're relying on him to do something. I think he only did the once.
No, that's fair. He had the bubble too,
and that's fine. So he was really, really good in the bubble. That was
pre ACL too.
And that was Jokic was still understanding his body. Jokic had just lost 30 or 40 pounds or whatever it was, and he didn't know what it was yet.
Yeah,
and so like Jamal was spectacular for sure, absolutely, but. Ever since that was kind of like the bubble was the Jamal Murray moment. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, okay, he's another one of them stars here in the league. All right, and then you hurt. Oh, not quite there. Oh, there he is. Mm. Championship.
He went crazy, and it's not a championship. He killed the Lakers last year. To win that series, and when they were coming back against Minnesota, he was going crazy. And when he stopped, now the question is, like you said, relying on him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the best bet. But he's the one that can elevate you with Jokic. So you got to ask yourself, what chance do you want to take? Do you want to take the chance of trying to find another guy like that, or take the chance with Jamal, with his injury?
Well, you're not going to trade Jamal and get another guy like Jamal. Like, you're probably getting lesser guys.
Yeah, you're not gonna be a title contender probably for at least a year, but you're not going to win anything with Jamal, Aaron, MPJ anymore. Like, that group is ran its course. Jokic is one of the greatest players of all time, so
and
like, he can
what?
Stay around all that, of course, but like, it's time to retool around him.
And Michael Porter, you're getting someone the likes of. I know he's a guy you like, but you're getting the likes of Kyle Kuzma, right? Mm-hmm. Like, with the Michael Porter Jr. contract, you're not getting a high-end player who makes a bunch of money. You're getting either, well,
would you trade?
I guess I was going to say you could pull off a disgruntled star with the Michael Porter Jr. contract and some other things. But in all likelihood, you're getting, you know, some Kyle Kuzma, Chris Middleton, that right. ilk of a player back with that contract.
I'm trying to see here. What was this? This was the Lakers series. I mean, he didn't go crazy. He just hit some big time shots. 22-20.
He went crazy the last game, no? The closer?
32.
Okay.
In the closer. And in the Timberwolves series, man, he had 37 in game 5. I remember he had that crazy. He probably had like 20 something in the first half of that game and ran out of gas in game 7.
This was versus
in the second half of the Timberwolves.
That game, the Timberwolves, yeah.
That game 7 game against the Timberwolves. Yeah. So, I love what Aaron Gordon brings to the table, man. That's a guy that you need on your team for sure. But I agree with Jesse. I think this group is finished as a championship contender, and to get to that spot, it's just what gamble you want to take, because there is a gamble in moving on from Aaron Gordon too,
mm-hmm.
because he does so much for you. Do you think it's easier to find a guy like that, or do you think it's easier to find a guy that can replace the production that Jamal Murray gives you when he's right?
Yeah. We'll come back. We really don't care if Denver can win or not. We're worried about Sacramento. But we're going to speak highly of Denver, because that's who Sacramento Kings
true champions
play on Wednesday.
True champions.
Heart of a champion. Yes, indeed. We'll come back. We'll talk more about your Sacramento Kings. We'll take a look around the rest of the league. It is going to be an entertaining final week of regular season basketball here. We'll break it all down for you. A national champion was crowned. A national championship game is set. It's D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey, so I saw something last week that when you want to talk about people just being angry just to be angry, this epitomizes it.
Mm.
Now, granted, I'll give people. No, I'm not going to give you a pass, but I will point out. I'm going to tell the whole story.
There you go. Thanks, Doc.
This email or advertisement came out after the Wizards loss.
Okay.
Right. But the Kings, Sacramento, whoever, I think on Thursday, I believe it was Thursday, maybe it was even Friday, they advertised what they're calling the Tower Bridge doubleheader for next Wednesday, or this Wednesday, excuse me. For $60, you get $60 total.
Mm-hmm.
You get tickets to go see the A's Padres at 12:30, Kings Nuggets that night.
Okay.
That's a pretty good. People were pissed.
Why would I want to watch two teams lose, Kenny?
They were pissed off. And I was like, I saw the thing, but I didn't really read it until like it came up on my Twitter feed just a little while ago. And I was like, oh, this is what they were talking about the other day. I said, $60 total? For two professional games?
Mm-hmm.
This is what they were mad at? Mm-hmm. Oh, they were pissed off.
$60 for the most midday of your life.
They were pissed off at this offer. This is one of the great offers in the history of this city.
You That's go pretty see, fire.
That's very fire.
You could go see. You said it's a baseball game. It's a Kings game and an A's game.
Yeah.
$60.
You gotta sit on the lawn at the Kings game, but whatever. It's gonna be a nice day.
They got a lawn at the Golden One Center now.
Oh, excuse me, at the A's game.
You gotta sit outside and watch it on the big screen.
You gotta sit. Yeah, the little area in front of Doko.
Yeah, right. Yo, that's right. Yeah, that's where you gotta sit.
Play. What's the game? What's the game you play?
Cornhole.
Oh, cornhole. Yeah. Play cornhole.
Yeah. Yeah. There it is.
Well, yeah, you got to sit at the lawn for the A's game, and then I'm assuming it's an upper deck ticket for the Kings.
That's cool.
So what? That's $60.
That's fine.
If you like baseball and basketball, it sounds cool. Out of
for that price, you could go to 10 baseball games and 10 basketball games and still pay less than I did
to go to the kitchen
on Friday night.
No, we got to speak on it. We got to talk. We got to talk.
Do we want to take a call first, or do we want to hear your story first? I don't know how much time we're going to spend on this.
Let's get Ross right now. We got to dive into this.
909. What is 1320.
1320.
Why?
Dude,
what
we got it.
Man, we here. We here.
Man. What's up, Ross? D-Lo.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing? Hey, just to jump on the Kings, man, I got some stats that I've been looking at. So the last 10 games, the Kings have only cracked over 27 assists one time. And the league average is 27.5 assists. So that, first of all, that's the problem. But I'm looking at a solution. I see DeMar DeRozan, and I know a lot of us say, yeah, he's an ISO guy and kind of make that as an excuse. But I think he's got another level to his playmaking game. And I went back and looked at his stats. This is the lowest amount of assists. He hasn't averaged under 5 assists since 2017. Mm. He's at 4.5 right now. He did it with 3 different teams. He even averaged 7 assists a game in San Antonio. So I think it's literally just a buy-in. And this team doesn't have much time, but if he buys in and becomes the playmaker, you know, that's a huge difference for us. So I just want to see him put it out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I get it. But I don't. DeMar DeRozan's having a pretty damn good season across the board. He's having a really good season. And the fact that a lot of people, I know they're not saying he's the only problem, but the fact that they look at him as a problem to what's going on, I just don't understand that. I don't think he's a problem. Now, you could think he's not the solution. I'm not sitting here saying he's the answer to all the issues that they have, but he's played how many? You might not have it up anymore, but how many games has he played?
DeMar?
Yeah, he had to. We got to be at like 7. There's 4 games left. I'd say 73 games.
It's the exact number that he's played.
He's played damn near all season. He's been unbelievably productive on the offensive end. Assist numbers, regardless of how you think they're happening, are solid. His shooting numbers are really good.
On the season, his field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, free throw percentage, assist number, and points, all barely, by the way, are above his career averages.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I'm not saying build a...
Again, it's not by a ton,
right?
But he's got great career numbers.
Yeah, 36 years old?
Yeah.
36. And doing this at 36... Even being close to your in a Hall of Fame career, being close to, you know, your highs in your career is that's impressive. I just, like I said, I guess I do understand like the whole ball movement thing and nitpicking him a little bit, but I guess at the same time I don't. Like I don't know what people thought they were getting, you know, from DeMar DeRozan. He has been as good as you could hope this year. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you want him to turn into Jason Kidd in the fourth quarter? Sure, I guess. But if there's somebody to turn to give the basketball to, sure, let's do it. But Sabonis ain't shooting it. Keegan ain't shooting unless it's a catch and shoot. Monk, he's giving the ball to him. He gave the ball to De'Aaron when De'Aaron was around. And Levine's a curious case because sometimes like everybody keeps saying like, hey, we want you to shoot the ball more. And he's the one that is passive. So
the funny thing about assist numbers is you're so reliant on everybody else. Mm-hmm. His career high in a single season was 6 assists per game. It was in the 2018-19 season. He was with San Antonio. Did not make All-Star that year, by the way. And he averaged, no, that wasn't his career high. His career high was 6.9. That was also with San Antonio. Still didn't make the All-Star team that year.
Damn.
But everything else, field goal percentage, three-point percent, it's all like the same. Points per game, it's 21. So he averaged, we'll say 2.5 more assists. But his points were exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 2.5 more assists. Field goal percentage was basically the same. Yeah. Like, everything else is the same. So at what point is it just Zach LaVine hitting a three that he gets off a pass from DeMar DeRozan?
Right.
Or Keegan or Keon or Malik or anyone? It's not like he averaged 11 assists and he was, you know, Trae Young or Tyrese Halliburton, and now he's down to 4. Mm-hmm. No, he's always hovered around 4. He peaked at the 6.9. He had a 6.2 year in there. That's his entire career.
Right.
He's, if nothing else, he's been the model of consistency. Mm-hmm. He has been the exact same player his entire career.
Like I said, people want to talk about the ball movement. Like, I get it. I get it. I may disagree, but I understand what people are looking for. But I also say, look at the league. Everybody, I was half joking about Jokic, but I watched Jokic in that Timberwolves game and any other game. Like, when the game is close, it's fourth quarter, it's him at the nail, or, you know, 17, 18 feet away, and he's going one-on-one, and he's making the decision. They're not running their offense no more. Maybe that is their offense, but they get the ball to him, and he makes the decision to either shoot it or kick it out to somebody. But it's not, oh, let's run our triangle here with a minute 30 left. Like, no, it's not what that's only been my argument. That's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Yeah, I think DeRozan's been pretty good this year. I think he's been really good, actually.
I think he's been exactly who he is. And that's been one of the funnier parts of watching this all transpire, is like, this is exactly who Zach DeMar DeRozan is as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. Bar for bar, this is who he is.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, Marshall Harris, I think even to a certain degree, Trista Crick, whether you like that to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Right.
If you didn't, well then, yeah, feel however you want to, because he's the same exact player. If you expected something different, or you thought you were getting something, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally done it for 15 seasons. You thought the 16th was going to be different?
Yeah.
That's your fault.
Right.
He's been exactly who. It doesn't mean you can't have moments with DeMar DeRozan where you're not frustrated.
Right.
It just means don't be frustrated by his game when he's doing everything he has his entire career.
He had one yesterday when I think Zach LaVine had hit back-to-back threes, and DeMar came down and took a pull-up the next time. I was like, hey, get that to Zach. Like, this guy is pure right now. So I'm not disputing that those moments happen.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times, I say the majority of the times, I don't have a problem with his shot selection. And then he makes the shots more times than not, too, in those moments. So, I don't know. I think he's gotten a kind of unfair label this year as being somebody who is the problem with what's going on with this team.